Appreciate song service this morning. Appreciate you. Appreciate you being here today. Just asked you to pray for us for a minute. Probably been better off if they just continued singing. Sister Moore, Brother Stephen's grandmother, she used to get up and testify, and she'd say the things of this world have just gotten cheaper and cheaper. Less and less. Some of you may not be there, but Lord willing, you'll get there. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look fully, fully into His face. The things of this world will grow strangely dim. And they will. Be honest with you this morning. I'm going to read you some scripture. And accept the Lord. Get on the scene. That'd be all we do. You might say, preacher, I don't believe you. I got news for you. I'm about as blank as I've ever been. One sense of the way. Sixth chapter of the book of Galatians. Probably read the whole chapter, not but 18 verses. Start with the first verse. Says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit. Amen. Now, maybe correctly reading, that's reading the entire chapter, the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians. Now, you're going to have to pray for just a minute. We'd be able to get ourselves out of the way and just do that we feel the Lord laid on our heart. This is a wonderful chapter. Got some wonderful things in it, as is the Word of God. We've got just a little thought this morning, and it's really all we have. And to be honest with you, I have no clue what we'll do with it. But we're gonna try our best, get ourselves out of the way, and just try to deliver you that we feel the Lord's laid on our hearts. Now there's things, and I don't know I'm all together, and I really don't this morning all together which way to go, maybe what to do, and what we have is sort of a strange thought in one sense. But I'd like to leave with you today, if I could. Paul wrote unto the Galatians here, and he wrote several things in the book of Galatians, and some wonderful words. And he began to talk, and he dealt a good bit with the present trouble of the day, which being that of Judaism and that of men wanting other men to keep the law and to do the law and to be circumcised. And that's a good portion of what Paul dealt with. But as he told them here, he said neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. He said neither one is of a benefit to Christ Jesus, but a new creature. But a new creature. They sung the song just a few minutes ago, nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. There's no other way. No other way that men can be put right with God except by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to talk to us this morning just a little bit, and think about the Word of God. You and I and any other preacher in this world will never run out of something to preach out of the Word of God. They never will. I believe that with all my heart. It makes no difference how many times you may have heard a message. Brethren, when God gives it afresh, it's anew. And it's strengthening and it's uplifting. I want to talk to you this morning about a letter from the editor. A letter from the editor. Now, sometimes I get a hold of some things I have no clue where in the world they come from. And this is one of them, just to be honest with you. Sometime during the portion of this week, this thought come across my mind, and I can't get rid of it, and I
Don't know anything else to do with it, so I'm just going to give it to you. The letter from the editor. Paul said here to the Galatians, he said, "You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand." I thought about that scripture when I got this little thought. And Paul loved the Galatians as he did all the other churches that he wrote to. And brethren, he left some wonderful instructions with them. And he tried his best to preach the gospel. Preach that Jesus Christ would be pleased with. So I'm going to try my best this morning to leave with you that I feel that Jesus would like for us to hear. Now I'm here and you're here, and brethren, it'll be up to us what we do with what we've got. Now, I'm honest about that. You want to know how much God loves you? My friend, there's 66 books in that word. Yes, they are. There's 66 books in that word, my friend. And that ought to tell you something about how much God loves you. I thought about how large a letter that God has left mankind. And brethren, it's wonderful this morning. It really is. That you might think, "Well, preacher, I never looked at it as being a letter." You look and read. My friend, you'll find that God's left his handprint, his footprint, and his instructions, my friend, within the lids of this book. Yes, he has. He's left them there. He's given them to us. Brethren, we can read them. We can study them. We can eat them. Brethren, and we can put them to use this morning. We most certainly can. I don't know, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know how much, my friend, you read this book. I don't know how much you think about this book. I can remember years ago, I'd worked around cars. My dad worked on them, and I was a good tool boy. And my friend, and I watched him work on many, many vehicles. And brethren, I learned some things. I learned how to do some things. I learned how he done some things and how he took some parts off and how he put some back on. Brethren, it was some good instruction. I want you to realize there's some good instruction in that word of God. Brethren, there's some things in there that'll absolutely change your life. Yes, it will. And brethren, but you've got to be interested in eating it today. Amen. Yes, you do. I had an old truck there that I'd bought, and I thought I'd go fix it up. And I want you to realize I tore that thing down. I really did. I done it myself. But my dad had left a couple of manuals down there. Brethren, they was about that thick. And before I started on this project, I went down there. And I pulled them old manuals out and I began to read. And I began to study that thing. And to try to figure out what to do and how to do it. And I want you to know, my friend, that thing guided me every step of the way. You want to make it to heaven? My friend, you've got a road map. Yes, you have. And brethren, it changed from natural to spiritual. Glory. Hallelujah. Brethren, that's where the new creature comes in. Yes, sir. These folks today, my friend, that's dead is 4 o'clock. Yes, they are. I used to deliver at a place down there, and there's a man had a little slogan on his desk. He said, "Them that don't believe in the resurrection of the dead or to be here at 4 o'clock." What do you mean, preacher? They come alive. Brethren, people can't wait to get out the door at the end of the day. Be the first, my friend, to get to their automobile. And brethren, think about it. You say, "Preacher, that's just an old silly slogan." It might be. I got a lot out of it. I thought, yes, that's exactly how it is. You know, there's a lot of people that does not believe that God resurrected the dead. Amen. And brethren, these people that does not know how to believe, my friend, in the resurrection of the dead. Hey, something, my friend, about life. They something about me and you. Thank God that me and you can't explain. But brethren, we know it's real. I told them in the Sunday school, I didn't know anything about, my friend, what I had the night I got saved. I didn't know altogether what I had. Yet, brethren, I want you to know it come alive in my life. Brethren, it showed up real quick. It showed up real quick. Brethren, the next day, I can't help it. It was part of what I had to do. Brethren, before we got down to the bridge, then I done told my best friend, I said, "The Lord saved me last night." And the devil told me right then, he said, "You messed up. You messed up." My friend, I want you to know to this day, that's the best thing that's ever happened in my life. My friend, it's me sharing what God done for me. Woo! Ain't nothing like it, folks. And it's spiritual, my friend. It is not carnal. These folks is trying to live for Jesus, live for Jesus, live for Jesus, and they can't live for Jesus. You know why they can't live for Jesus? Because Jesus ain't home. Amen. Jesus ain't in there. Amen. My friend, they've turned over a new leaf. Thank God they look like us, dress like us, my friend, and sometimes talk like us. But brethren, they can't hold the rest down. Amen. Yes, sir. There's things you say, "Preacher, is this a letter from the editor?" It most certainly is. There's things, my friend, in people's lives. So listen to me, brethren, that ought not to be there this morning. If you're a child of the King, if you're a child of the King, listen, these things, my friend, that me and you both understand about salvation, these are things that we don't understand. And there's things that we do understand. Yes, sir. It's hard to explain, my friend, in one sense of the way. But I told them in Sunday school, and I'll tell you, brethren, it's sometimes you have to grow in this thing. Brethren, you have to let it lead you. You have to let it guide you. You have to let it be number one, and you have to take the back seat. Amen. It's the only way it works. Amen. These people, my friend, that absolutely signed a card somewhere thinking they're going to heaven when they don't even know the author, my friend. They've things. You know why this book means so much? Yes, You know why, my friend, this book, my friend, means so much? Brethren, it means so much because it's got so much in it that concerns me. Yes, sir, I don't know where it talks to you or not, but brethren, when I get to reading it, it talks to me. And brethren, sometimes it talks to me in a way and in a manner that I don't want to go. I'd rather keep my mouth shut on some things, my friend. But brethren, when God says this is it, when God says this is the way, folks, I don't know about you, but I've got to the place I understand what he's talking about. Yes, sir. Bible says in the days of Ezekiel that there's a voice behind them saying, this is the way. This is the way. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They is going the wrong way. They is going down the beaten path. They is going down a path that a lot of them had went down. They is going down a dangerous path. And the Lord said, not that away, but this way. I've had them tell me that. I've started in a way, and he said, not so. Not so. The Bible teaches us about a man by the name of Lot. And I've thought a lot of times, my friend, Lot looking out for his cattle, looking out for his handmaids, looking out for all that he owned. He looked down toward the well-watered plains of Jordan, Sodom. Did he not? Looked good. Thought he'd take care of all that he had. He did, but he got off down there, and the Bible says, it plainly says, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I can't help it. Brethren, I'm going to tell you something. If you're headed down the wrong path, turn around. Turn aside. Get a hold of God and just say, God, which way do I need to go? They sung about it. They sung about it. Didn't know which way to go. Didn't know which way to turn. Just gonna trust Jesus. I want you to realize, my friend, that they didn't wind up in Sodom tomorrow. They didn't wind up in Sodom. I'm thinking in a week or a month. Brethren, months had passed. And no doubt, I have no clue, but brethren, no doubt the bright lights of Sodom, my friend, in the late evenings, they got to wondering what's going on. What's going on? You get out some evenings and the clouds are real low and you're coming down the interstate or down the highways, and you'll look over this way and there'll be bright lights, and you'll look over this way and there'll be bright lights, and you say, well, there's a little community over there of some sort. You'd be about right. I can't help but to believe that that's what went on, the bright lights. My friend, after a while, here went two or three. And after a while, they might have come back and said, come go with us. You say, preacher, it don't happen. It does happen that way. Brethren, these folks don't just jump out of church. Do you know that? They really don't. They don't just up and quit. Brethren, it's little by little. Yes, sir. Just the scripture says, I like it said, here a little, there a little. And that's how you get your learning. Here, there a little, precept upon precept, my friend, line upon line. Brethren, I want you to know, you used to be under the law that every man taught his brother, But brethren, he said, not so, not so. You'll get it now for yourself and not another. In other words, you will be held accountable individually. Not my friend, for your brother. Not for your sister, not for your mother, not for your father. Brethren, when it comes between you and God, that's exactly how it's going to sit. Yes, sir. The Bible says, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. That ain't changed.
Amen.
Not a bit. Listen, these things, my friend, that I would to God I could share with you this morning, that would show you that it's better off listening to Him.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Did you know it don't say how long Lot himself was in Sodom? It don't say. But I'm going to tell you what it does say. It said that their living vexed his righteous soul. There's something about Lot, my friend, that Lot never could get rid of. I'm going to say this. I believe it was his upbringing. I believe it was him being around Abraham, my friend, and knowing that Abraham trusted God and leaned to God. The Bible even says that when God sent his men, his angels, down there to Sodom and Gomorrah, my friend, that they went by Abraham. Yes, sir. They visited him. And the Bible's real plain about this. He said there's three of them. Thank God. God don't forget his own self. God the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, not so. You tell me what three it was then.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. One, my friend, stayed back. Did they not? The Bible says that they began to tell Abram about what was fixing to happen. And it says Abram pleaded with the Lord. That third one, my friend, being the Lord himself. You hear me, my friend? Oh, Abram said, Lord, said, if they be 50 righteous down there, would you spare that city?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about what Abram got in this message. Brethren, the very first thing that Abram got was that it was going to be destroyed. He believed it. He believed it. He believed what they said. Do you know we got folks today that absolutely don't believe what God says? They just don't believe. Ain't got enough confidence in Him to believe that what He says is true. He sent you a letter, 66 books full. Yes, sir. Read it. Absorb it. Get a hold of it. Let it get a hold of you. It'll change your life. It most certainly will. Abram talked to the Lord and they said, Lord, he said, if I just 40. I'm going to tell you something. I believe Abram knowed there's a few down there, but he didn't know how few it was. Yes, sir. Can I tell you something else? Lot was down there looking. Do you know that? Lot wasn't in the city over there. all in the midst of that mess, I'm just going to preach it to you. Lord, they be 30. Lord, if they be 20. Then he got down real close. Said, Lord, don't be angry with thy servant. He said, but if there's 10, if there's 10 down there, said, would you spare that city? Did you know that God had already sent judgment down there? They is on their way. Whether you have it or not, judgment and mercy both. But judgment was fixing to happen. What was going to happen, preacher? They was fixing to destroy that city. Yes, sir. That's what they was headed for. That's the reason Abram was pleading. Lord, if they just be 10. You know how gracious and merciful God was? He said, if they be 10.
Yeah.
If they be 10,
amen,
we'd spare that city. A letter, listen. Listen. God, through his infinite wisdom and through his moving in the days of Abram, he was not going to destroy the righteous, my friend, without letting Abram know. Abram, no doubt at that time, was typical of the church. Only church they had. All they had. I want you to know that Abram loved God, trusted God, believed God. Yes, sir. 10. Bible said when these two men came into the city, you know who found them? Lot. He saw them coming.
Yeah.
Preacher, how did he see them? He was a looking. I believe it with all my heart. Here's a look, and here they come. They come in, they told him what they was there for. He told them, he said, you come in with me. Yes, sir. They said, we just going to buy it in the street. And he said, not so. Not so. Not so. He said, you get in here with me. They began to tell Lot, my friend, and Lot gathered two of his daughters and his wife. You read your book and see what he left with. See what he left with. I'm going to tell you something, folks, and I might be old school, but I'm just going to tell you something. I read this sixth chapter. I read what it said, didn't you? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sow to the flesh, he'll of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sow to the Spirit, then he'll reap life everlasting. It's pretty plain. It's pretty simple. Folks, I want you to realize that those men of Sodom, my friend, was doomed.
Yeah.
Doomed. Lot had herds. He had handmaidens, men servants, and he had more children. He sent word down there to his other daughters, did he not? And their husbands. And they sent them away. Sent them away. Just mocked him. You know why they mocked him? Because the world was going on just like the world had always went on.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Little did they know. Those men told Lot, said, you get out of this city. hastily. In other words, get on. Go. We are fixing to bring judgment. And he said, look not back. Think about it. Think about it. Look not back. You may think harsh of Lot's wife, but the Bible, according to how I read it, she has some daughters left down there. So did Lot. So did Lot. But she looked back, and the Bible says she turned to a pillar of salt. And according to the reading, said it was still there as of that day. Still there. Pillar of salt. Because she looked back. You know, I think sometimes that people just don't believe the Word of God no more. But you ought to take it as a letter from the editor. A letter. It's exactly what he sent to us. You say, preacher, you could have picked another chapter to read than this one. You know, people don't like, they don't like being preached to. They don't like being told by a friend just what I've read to you this morning, just what I've quoted back to you. People don't like to hear them kind of messages. Preacher, we want one of them good honey messages. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't pick them. I really don't. I don't have the opportunity, my friend, to say, Lord, I really want to preach on this one today. I can do that. I have done that, but it didn't take me but once. Did you know that? Not but once. I found out God knows how to get a hold of folks. Long time ago. Being pastor, my friend, things went on and my temperature rose. On Saturday night, about half of them down at the lake, I know where they was. Deacons, preachers, I ain't lying, telling you the truth. My temperature got up. You know what, Robert? I figured out Saturday night, I figured out exactly what I was going to preach Sunday morning. Yes, sir. I was gonna lower the boom. Preacher, you wouldn't do that. Well, I learned how it worked, let's say that. What do you mean? I mean I sat there during singing and I couldn't wait. I was chomping at the bits. Seriously. I wanted to preach to them. I wanted to let them know. Just how it was, like they didn't know. Never in my life had I been in a meeting. It's about 5 minutes to 12. Them back doors opened. There's a preacher come walking through. He come and sat down on that front bench, and the Lord looked at me and he said, he's the one. And I sat there for about 5 minutes. They was on the last song. And I sat there and I said, Lord, he ain't the one. I got it today. Yeah. That's exactly. Yeah. And me and the Lord, I kept telling him I had it. I don't think he believed me. I know. It is comical now, but it wouldn't then. It wasn't then, son. I meant business. Do you know it? I meant business. Like the Lord didn't. Like the Lord didn't know how to fix things. But I did. I got up still with the intentions of preaching, but I got behind that book board and they said, you better give it to him. And Crafton, thank the Lord. Yeah. Thank the Lord, I did. I said, Brother Farrell, Ray going to preach this morning. And Brother Farrell got up, and you know what? He preached.
Yes.
He preached to them.
Bless him, Lord.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
He preached to them.
Amen.
But that ain't all. He preached to me. Lord got us all.
Bless him, Lord.
Got us all. I learned that Sunday, Carrie, who the preacher was.
Amen.
I did. I learned. Why, preacher, you mean you had a message? I sure did. I had one that worked too in my mind. But the Lord knowed how to work on them and me both and bring us right together. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I can honestly say, Crafton, I ain't never tried to preach another. Not another. Outside the fact, I'm telling on myself, but outside the fact, I had some scripture that come to me one day. And it was, I had it on my mind, on my heart, the church that it was for. It wasn't for the church I was pastoring, it was for another church. And I'd go down to this church and preach every now and again, and I'd leave the house with that scripture. And when I'd get there, Lord, change. Just change it. This went on for months, maybe a year and a half or so. And I had several times that I could go down. I had a letter for them. You hear me? So it rocked on there, and we'd went several times, and I went with the intentions. I left the house with the intentions of using that scripture because they was the ones that needed it. That's how I felt. I run a revival down there at this church. It was me and this other preacher. And we'd went all week. It'd come Friday night. And I was sitting there, it was sort of my turn to preach that night. And right before I got up, the Lord said, now's the time. We'd had a pretty good meeting all week. And I said, Lord, not tonight. Do you hear that? Not tonight. Not tonight. Why not? Well, I didn't think it was the right time. But the Lord had a different.
Amen.
He had a different thought. I had the church right, but my timing was, I had to wait on him. Had to wait on him. Sometimes you have to just wait on the Lord. I know it's been odd this morning, maybe in an odd sort of way. But you think about the letter from the editor. He's left us a letter. He's left us all the instructions we ever need to have truthfully a successful life in this life. Jesus came and he said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. More abundant. More abundant. There's a He's left more with us than we'll ever use in our lifetime. The benefits of just being saved. We don't even scratch the surface on what he's left in our care. What he's left in our access. I want you to know, you follow the manual, you'll come out okay. You'll come out okay if you'll follow the manual, if you'll follow the instructions. And if you'll read this word, If you'll read this word this morning, if you'll read it as if it was written to you, you'll get more out of it. And it'll mean more to you. It most certainly will. That's the message. You can come and get a verse of a song. I don't know your heart. Don't know what you stand in need of.